Welcome to the teachings of Father Al Lauer.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Glad you're with us. I'm Father Al Lauer. This is the third seminar in a series, the Life and the Spirit seminars. Not the traditional seminars, although the same purpose as the traditional seminars, but some different teachings. I'm sure they overlap with the traditional ones, but hopefully this will reach somebody here and somebody there, or maybe a lot of people over there, and we'll have Pentecost after Pentecost. Let's start off. We want to bless you all. Remember, the Life and the Spirit seminars is really just living our baptismal promises, living out our baptismal life. That's what it's all about. It's not something, I guess you would say, over and above that, but it's the actual practical living of this great event in our life, our baptisms. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for letting us be alive in the Spirit. Lord, may we grow in the Spirit. May we never get to a point where we don't feel that there's so much more in the Spirit for us. Lord, may we want to receive the Spirit so deeply, so powerfully, that our whole lives and the lives of this of everyone we know and beyond are transformed by the Spirit. Mary, you received the Holy Spirit so perfectly. Please help us, pray for us to receive the Spirit with that kind of Marian openness. Let's ask Mary to pray for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So the title of this seminar, the third of the five, is the main prerequisite for receiving the Holy Spirit. Do you have to be holy to receive the Holy Spirit? Some people think that. No, that's backwards. You have to receive the Holy Spirit to be holy. Do you have to be prayerful to receive the Holy Spirit? That's backwards. You do have to say a prayer, usually, but you have to receive the Holy Spirit in order to be prayerful. Romans 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought, but He makes intercession for us. So the Spirit's helping people who are weak in prayer, who don't know how to pray as they ought. So far, everybody's qualifying, okay? Now, what do you need? What do you need to receive the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:38, repent, be renewed, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Another one, Luke 11:13, if we with all our sins know how to give our children good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Repent, ask. All right, now another one. John 7:37-38. If anyone thirsts, Jesus cried out, let him come to me. From within him rivers of living water will flow. Here he was referring to the Holy Spirit. We must thirst to receive the Holy Spirit. Thirst for what? Thirst for God. Thirst for salvation for all people. Okay? Acts 5:32, it says, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. Now, you could add more to the list. You could go from Acts 2:38 and say, you need to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. You could go from John 7:37 and say, you need to believe to receive the Holy Spirit. But baptize, believe, ask, obey, thirst, repent. What is the... I guess you'd say the attitude behind all of these requirements for receiving the Holy Spirit. What's the attitude that is the main requirement that encompasses the asking, the repenting, the thirsting, the obeying, etc.? I believe, and this is what the church has taught, humility, or a particular type of humility, docility. Docility is humility in the context of teaching, being teachable. That is the basic attitude behind all these prerequisites for receiving the Spirit. The Pope has said in his great encyclical, The Splendor of Truth, section 108, The Spirit is received by the humble and docile heart of the believer. Humble and docile heart. In the Catechism, the Catholic Church, section 1310, referring to receiving the Holy Spirit at confirmation, the Church teaches more intense prayer. So they mentioned prayer is real important in receiving the Spirit. Should prepare one to receive the strength and graces of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does a prayer do? Help you receive the Spirit? Yes, but in what way? With docility and readiness to act. Notice the docility again. Catechism, section 1310. Let me explain this in a little bit more detail. Mary, she received the Holy Spirit so perfectly that her reception became a conception. Amazing. Absolutely astounding. Never happened before, never will happen again. Her reception was so perfect, it was a conception. She received the Spirit and conceived Jesus in her womb. When she did that, what did she say? She said, "Behold, I am the," and it's often translated, "handmaid of the Lord." This is Luke 1:38. But a better, more exact translation, "I am the doule" in the Greek, meaning the female slave of the Lord. Now, we usually don't translate it that way because the connotations of slavery are somewhat confusing. But it is a very strong expression saying, whatever the Lord says, I just don't work for Him part-time. I'm not just a servant here. My whole life is serving Him, and being a slave of Him in the good sense of the word. As we see, for example, in Romans 6, being a slave of Christ, or Colossians 3, being a slave of Christ. I'm the slave of the Lord. That is a statement of great docility. Whatever you say, whatever your word is, let it be done. That's docility. Just giving God a blank check, saying, God, you say it, I do it. Simple as that. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I don't figure it out. I don't try to give you some more information in case you forgot something. I just do it. That's docility. I'm the doule, the female slave of the Lord. Okay, first Gentile that we know of to receive the Holy Spirit. His name is Cornelius. He was a military man, a centurion, in charge of many soldiers. Usually a military fellow is not, especially an officer, is not known for being very, I guess, humble. Maybe, I don't know, but at least I haven't met too many in that type of situation where they were real humble. He was an officer in the conquering army. They conquered the Jewish people. And here we have this conquered, defeated nobody named Peter entering Cornelius' house. And what does Cornelius do? He doesn't just say, sit over there. We'll get to you if we feel like it. Remember, you're nothing. Remember, you're defeated. Remember, I'm an officer. No, he doesn't do that. When Peter, this Galilean fisherman of this defeated people, when he comes in to the room, Cornelius drops to his knees. He bows low. This is Acts of the Apostles 10 and 25. He just prostrates himself before this Galilean fisherman. Peter is embarrassed. He doesn't know what to think, and he helps Cornelius up and says, I'm just a man. You see how docile, how teachable Cornelius is. Now, nobody dreamed a non-Jew, a Gentile, would receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't know that they would be included. So Peter just starts talking a little bit about Jesus. Then he says, you know, Jesus is here for the forgiveness of sin. And boy, just saying Jesus and just saying sin, Cornelius is just so docile. He received the Holy Spirit without anybody praying for him, praying over him, anything. Just so docile. would you be so docile, so teachable, you wouldn't even come to the Life and Spirit Seminar. Nobody would even get a chance to pray for you or over you or anything. You just show up. The people start singing Jesus. Somebody says you ought to repent. Bang, you ought to receive the Holy Spirit. So I'd have to have a lot more than that. Well, see, if you were docile, just the slightest little movements of God's grace, and you would just go for it. Do you see how this works? Another example, Jesus Himself. When did Jesus receive the Holy Spirit? Well, at the River Jordan, the Spirit descended upon Jesus. The Spirit descended in the form of a dove. What was going on there? Jesus was listening to His creature, God, Jesus, the Word made flesh, the eternal Word. Jesus is listening to words from one of His creatures, John the Baptizer. And He comes up and shockingly says, "Dunk me, John, dunk me in the water." And John says, "Jesus, I don't see why we should do this. Don't do this. This doesn't make sense." Jesus says, "Just go ahead. This is the way we should do it." The New American translates the first words of Jesus in the New Testament. This is Matthew 3, and translates the New American translation. The old translation says, "Give in for now. Just give in for now." That's what Jesus was doing, giving in. Docile, so docile. The docile receive the Holy Spirit. You see it in Mary, you see it in Cornelius, you see it in Jesus. Pope John Paul II has said as much, and so has the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay, what about us? Are you docile? Now, the way to receive the Holy Spirit is to look where there will be the challenge to your docility. Maybe some of the things I've said, maybe you're very open to Mary. And when I started talking about Mary, you said, I'm sure glad He's bringing up Mary. You know, but some of you might say, "Mary, I don't like that. Why do they have to always be bringing up Mary?" Wherever you have some problems with some teaching, and we're not talking about, I guess you'd say, orthodoxy problems. I just mean more personal problems. Sometimes you'll disguise this by saying, "I don't know if that's really true or not. I don't know if that's the true teaching." Well, you might be right, but maybe you're just, you know, putting up a front. Sometimes people give this big orthodox stuff, and I'm all for orthodoxy. I think we should stand up for it and everything else, but sometimes that's a front for, "I just am rebelling against God's will." And so, where would you have a problem? I know a lady, she's witnessed to this many times, and I just think it's so wonderful. She said, "For years, I just told the church, don't tell me what to do in my bedroom. Don't tell me I can't have artificial birth control. I need artificial birth control. I can't worry about some of these rules these churches are coming up with." And you know, she just was, you know, say, "Well, wait a minute, lady. This ain't the church's idea. The church is just saying what God says. This is truth. This is the will of God. You need to listen to this." And you say, "Oh, don't bother me with that. What do you know? You don't know nothing." She just was really not open to the teaching saying that sexual relations and marriage must be open to life and there should be no artificial contraception. She was fighting God on this. She wasn't docile at all. She's rebellious. But one day she just knew the Lord was telling her, "Repent of that. Repent of your rebellion in this matter of artificial contraception." She, in her bedroom, I don't know if she knelt down or sat down, but she just said, "Lord, I repent. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey." Immediately, nobody prayed over her, nobody touched her. It was kind of like Cornelius. She received the Holy Spirit in wonderful ways. You look at the gift of the Holy Spirit that, you know, you really don't want any part of. Like the gift that a lot of people in an Anglo culture have trouble with is the gift of tongues. Say, "Boy, I don't know. You know, you don't know what you're saying. Even if you can start at a certain time and end at a certain time, well, I don't know. I don't,
I don't feel totally good about that. I think you look stupid doing that, you know. Well, does God want this or not? Well, yeah, He does. You say, well, you sure you're interpreting the Bible right? Yeah. The church talks about tongues in Catechism 2003. In the Pope's Encyclical, Splendor of the Truth, Section 108. In Lay Members of Christ's Faithful People. We talked about that in our last seminar. I can give you the exact section if you want. But that's in Section 24. So the church believes in the gift of tongues. Say, well, I don't know. I still don't want it. Well, see, there we have this docility issue. There's some teaching of the church. There's some part in the Bible. And you say, I don't like that stuff in the Bible about tithing. I don't go for that. I don't go for that stuff. I give somebody in the church, but 10%, come on, that's ridiculous. Nobody gives 10%. I don't understand that. I don't think you have to give 10%. I don't see why the church has never taught that. Is there something in the Bible? Is there something in the teaching of the church? Is there some kind of gift of the Spirit, work of the Spirit? Maybe we say, you know, what you need to do is just lift your hands and praise the Lord. See, I don't go for that. I don't like it. Nobody tells me to lift my hands up. I'm not. That makes me feel like I'm a criminal or something. They do that to people. They take them to jail. So, well, wait a minute. Wait. Anyway, you get the idea. Where would there be a challenge to your humility and your docility? You know, a lot of times something like, you know, you ought to repent of not forgiving that person. That person has hurt you so much, you know, you ought to go to them and apologize for holding a grudge against them and say, what? You got to be kidding. They have hurt me terribly. They've ruined my life. And I'm going to apologize to them for holding a grudge? Say, what about them? Well, that's their problem. Say, well, they're the ones that did everything, but you held a grudge and you shouldn't have done that. And say, well, yeah, but I didn't do much compared to what they did. We didn't say you did. We just said you did something wrong. You ought to apologize. Say, well, why should I be apologizing? I got one thing to apologize for. They got 150 things to apologize for. Because you got one thing to apologize for. That's why. Say, wait a minute. No. I had some guy call me back a few weeks ago. He read our pamphlet on forgiveness, and he had a fit. He just said, oh, no, God, you're not telling me I'm supposed to go tell that person I'm sorry for holding a grudge. You got to be kidding. He called me up long distance. He called me up twice long distance. He wrote me two big letters. He just said, I can't take that. I just don't believe that stuff. I don't think that's a good idea. Where is the docility a problem? Where is it? That's where it's at. That's where you're going to see the Holy Spirit come. When I was praying in one of the times I gave this teaching, I pictured this dam holding back this big, massive, lake of water, just like an ocean almost. There was this dam holding the whole thing back. And once that person was docile, said, I'm the slave of God. Let it be done to me. Once the person was docile and just fell down prostrate, once the person was docile and just said, whatever you say, I'm listening. The dam just breaks and this flood of living waters comes in. The main prerequisite for receiving the Spirit, now there are all these things I mentioned, but the attitude behind all of them, to repent you need humility and docility. To pray the right way you need humility and docility. Remember that thing about the Pharisee and the publican in Luke's Gospel? To obey humility and docility. To thirst for the right things instead of the wrong things. To repent of thirsting for the wrong things. To really want what God wants, you've got to have a different attitude. Humility and docility. Okay. Let's give a little bit more information about some of the resources that we can use to accompany the seminars. I mentioned the audio and video tapes that you're seeing the videos right now. You have the same words in audio. I mentioned two booklets, Praying for a New Pentecost and Life-Changing Prayers from the Bible. In the guidebook for the traditional Life and the Spirit seminars, they kind of have a little scripture and you pray every day. Well, you might do those, or if you prefer to try something different, maybe the Spirit kind of led you in something different. Encouraging people to select a couple prayers a day from one of these books. Praying for a New Pentecost or Life-Changing Prayers from the Bible. In our last seminar, we said, try to get people to read a chapter of Acts of the Apostles every day during the seminars, if you're doing them over a period of like 5 weeks. And another thing you could have with that would be this simple reading guide to Luke and Acts. It'll just give a paragraph or two introduction to each chapter, and it'll kind of help people focus so that they can really zero in on the main point of what God's revealing in that chapter. So we'd be glad to send you that simple reading guide to Luke and Acts. Also, we have the book, Seek the Gifts of the Spirit. That can be a whole series of seminars following the Life and the Spirit seminars, or you can take some of that material and incorporate it. Or you can at least give it out to the people at the seminars so that, you know, they can have more information. Another thing, the One Bread, One Body. I would encourage you to strongly, strongly encourage those who are participating in the seminars to go to Mass as often as possible, ideally daily during the seminars. And in order to fully enter into Mass, or at least more fully, our booklet, One Bread, One Body, Bible teachings and the daily Eucharistic readings could really help a person. But you get the idea, a lot of resources. Going to Mass, going to confession, reading the Bible, praying, giving some prayers you could focus on, giving some help in appreciating the readings for every day for the daily Mass, giving some help in reading chapters one a day of Acts of the Apostles. And then we've got all kinds of little pamphlets that go with some of the seminar teachings. In the first seminar, we talked about Lent and the renewal of the baptismal promises. Well, we talked about the renewal of the baptismal promises, but we got a little pamphlet called Lent and the renewal of the baptismal promises. That might be helpful to you. We touched in the second seminar on you really got to know that for certain that you should just go for the works with the Holy Spirit. Just abandon yourself. Be zealous for the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And the church will give you that certainty. There's a little pamphlet we have called Clarity, Certainty, and Commitment. We also have a pamphlet called Speaking in Tongues. We have one on Seek Prophecy. We should seek all the gifts of the Spirit, but above all the gift of prophecy. For future seminars, we have a little pamphlet called Unforgiveness is the Cause, another one, 14 Questions on Forgiveness. All of these pamphlets can be used to supplement the teachings in the seminars. And maybe you don't even have a chance to get into them in the teachings, but you could give them to the people and they could go home. But we're trying to really give the people quite a bit of formation. But this is kind of flexible. Because, see, maybe you could just make those available. They don't even have to take them. Or you could just give them to them, and they don't have to read them by next week. They can just read them whenever they can get to it. But so somebody who's got the time or the energy or the calling to really get into a lot, they can be reading all kinds of books. They can be Acts of the Apostles. They can be getting introductions to the chapters. They can be going to Mass every day, getting some Bible teaching on the daily Eucharistic readings. They've been getting these seminars. They can be looking into the gifts of the Spirit in much greater detail. You know, they can really go into it in much, much greater depths. And I think that's important because if we're going to really lead people to life in the Spirit, we've got to give them a lot more material, a lot more depth. You know, God didn't reveal all this stuff to us for nothing, you know. In the last seminar, we'll talk about building Christian communities. There's a book, Introduction to Small Christian Communities, and another one, 12 Seminars, which would be an ideal follow-up to the Life and the Spirit seminars called Building Small Communities. And we have video and audio tapes that go with a lot of these resources. So anyway, we've been kind of dropping in on these seminars, this information about other resources. But do you get the idea how we're trying to give a person a real great depth in understanding the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up your rest. Give us the gift of docility. Amen.
You have been listening to Father Al Lauer. Visit our website, presentationministries.com.
Possible.